Our lesson this evening is a reminder to me of what I said a few weeks ago when I was talking about doing series and not being real good at them. Because the thing we want to look at this evening is a second lesson in regards to some things that we talked about almost a year ago. I didn't realize it had been a year since we did that. But about a year ago in October, we followed a route through the Bible that was for the purpose of helping us to get some notation in our Bible or some pattern in our Bible that we might could follow when we were talking to other people about the Word of God. And that first route that we did began in the book of 2 Corinthians and dealt with the nature of man. And this evening I want us to look at what is the second route, and that is in regards to understanding the Bible. It's a little shorter route than the one that we did back in October, but going through here, as we mentioned when we did that lesson before, and here's one reason I don't do so good with series, because I have to go back and remind everybody what the series was all about sometimes. But it was to do something of our own similar to what you might find in a chain reference Bible, where we can follow along from one scripture to the next and have notation to go to the next one to help us, especially when we're talking to people. And I think it's important for us to consider this particular topic, not just because it's the second route that's in this book that I've got regarding these things that helps us to lay these things out, but because one of the big problems with talking to people about the Word of God is, well, it's hard to understand. One of the reasons that's given for people not reading from the Scripture is it's hard to understand. And of course, we recognize there are passages that are hard and difficult to understand. I made reference to the wheels within wheels that Ezekiel talks about in his prophecies. And certainly there are passages in the book of Revelation, in the book of Isaiah and Jeremiah, and even some of the things we read in the book of Psalms and Proverbs are a little difficult for us to understand. But the Scripture was written so that we could understand. And that's kind of the pathway we're going to follow through Scripture, is these Scriptures that impress upon us that it can be understood. But one of the reasons that we have so many people in the world that look at the Bible as something that's hard to understand is because they've been taught that. The religious world in general impresses upon most people, or tries to impress upon most people, that in order for them to have an understanding of the Word of God, they've got to have somebody show them. That in order for somebody to know the will of God and to understand all about the Bible, they must spend all of their time in the Word of God, must have devoted themselves completely to the study of the Word of God, such as the lay, the clergy or the priests and fathers and such of many of the religions have. And that if you're not one of those, then you can't understand the Bible. Or you've got to have a high education. And so many people have been taught this or heard this through their lives growing up that they've just begun to accept it. That the Bible is a book that only certain people are able to understand. And it leads to people living their lives in such a manner that they just pretty much do whatever it is they want or whatever they're told, because I can't understand the Bible anyway, and therefore I shouldn't have to worry about what the Bible has to say. But we know better than that. Certainly we recognize that understanding the Bible is as easy as opening up the book and reading from what it has to say. That's why Paul gave the instruction to Timothy to study the Word of God, to be diligent or study to show yourself approved to God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the Word of truth. That means Paul expected that Timothy could understand the Word of God and instructed him to teach others to do the same. We need to encourage people to study the Word of God, because it's only the Word of God that can lead us to God. I don't know if you remember it may have been a couple months now, but a few weeks ago, I had an article in the bulletin about hear the Word and how it's necessary for us to read and hear the Word of God in order for us to know who God is. And Jesus told some of those that he was teaching in the book of John, chapter 5, you search the Scriptures because you think in them you have eternal life. It is these that testify me, and you're unwilling to come to me so that you may have life. It's the Word of God that testifies of Christ. Tells us the means by which we might be saved. Peter tells us in 2 Peter chapter 1, grace and peace multiply to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. And it doesn't take much reading in the two epistles of the Apostle Peter to come to an understanding that God expects us to gain and to grow in our knowledge and understanding of who Jesus is and what His life was all about. The Bible reveals to us God, Christ, the Holy Spirit, the purpose of man, and God wanted us to understand these things. The Bible is written so that we can understand. In fact, it's written to help us understand. And so, we're going to talk about some of those things, and we're going to mark... If you want to mark the Bible, that's fine. If you want to write these things down, that's fine. My suggestion is write them down on a piece of paper and then go and study. Maybe you may have a couple of verses you want to add in a particular place or another that you might want to include. If you're talking to somebody about the Word of God or the need to understand and study the Word of God, I hope these passages will be helpful to you in striving to do that. If you're interested in this particular book I've got about marking your Bible and following these routes, I can get you a copy of it if you're interested in that. But in this particular route, and I'm going to try to pronounce this guy's name properly. I don't have it written on this page. But anyway, this route is by a man that's been preaching for many years. And it's kind of like Braille, but it's not Braille. Brasteel, I think, is his name. But I've got it in records elsewhere. I printed this before I put his name on the bottom, I guess. But he begins his route in John chapter 20. And certainly, I suspect most of you understand that we're going to be going to John chapter 20, verse 30 and 31. And the statement that is made there, because remember, this route, this pathway through the Scriptures that we might use in trying to help someone understand is about understanding the Bible and that it can be understood and that it needs to be understood. And we'll talk about that plus some of the reasons why there are so many misunderstandings in addition to what we've already looked at. But when we begin this route, we begin at John chapter 20, verse 30 and 31. Therefore, many other signs Jesus also performed in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these that have been written, so that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in His name. While this is written in particular about the Gospel of John, we who have studied the Word of God recognize that this statement could be applied to the Bible as a whole also. But what John says here through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit is these things are written so that you can know. Which tells us that the purpose for the writing of the book of John, the gospel story about Christ that John recorded for us, is to help us understand. Why would someone write a book to help us understand, yet write it in a manner that it could not be understood? That doesn't make any sense. And certainly it is reasonable to consider and to conclude that because John wrote it for the purpose of our being able to understand and know about Christ, it is understandable. And so this is a good passage to start with when we're talking to someone about the need to understand and our ability to be able to understand the Word of God. The Word of God tells us straight up, written to help your understanding. And from that it goes to John chapter 8 and verse 32, and that's another passage that's familiar to us, and most of these passages will be. Maybe we wouldn't connect them together in just this manner every time we thought about them. But John chapter 8 and verse 32, of course you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. That's a statement of Christ. Jesus Himself said, you can know the truth. Well, that means in some form or another, it's got to be recorded or given to us in a manner that we can understand it. I can't know something that I don't understand. Or at least I can't use knowledge that I don't understand. There's a lot of things I may know, but it's not of much use to me unless I understand. And if the truth is going to make me free, I not only need to know it, I need to be able to understand it. And so here's another passage where the Scripture emphasizes to us our ability to understand. And then we turn over to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 17. This may be one of the passages that you don't necessarily think of, but in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 17, the Apostle Paul there tells the brethren that he's writing to, "So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." Now, this is not just, here's a pretty good idea. Paul is not saying, maybe you ought to think about, Paul here is issuing a command. A command from an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ is given, recorded here for us. Is God going to command us to do something that we cannot do? Certainly not. Now, stop here just a moment. I understand and realize that some of the things that we're going to point out as we go through here are obvious to us, but keep in mind, this is for the purpose of helping us be able to reach someone that doesn't think they can understand the Bible. And so we go through that process and a thought process to consider how we might respond to someone. Here's a passage where Paul says you are to understand the will of the Lord. We might even connect 1 John chapter 5, verse 2 and 3 with this. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 2 and 3, that's where John tells us that if we love God, we'll keep His commandments. In fact, if we are God's children, it will be evident by the fact that we keep His commandments, is more the point that John puts across there. Following the commands of God is something that is reasonable to be expected of us. Now, probably a passage that has come to the mind of most of us who are here when we first started talking about this particular idea of being able to understand the Bible is Paul's statement in Ephesians chapter 3. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1 through 4, the Apostle Paul there, beginning in verse 1, says, "For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, if indeed you've heard of the stewardship of God's grace, which was given to me for you, that by revelation there was made known to me the mystery, as I wrote in brief, by referring to this, when you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ." Now, if you're like me, that's a pretty long sentence there. It kind of jumps here and there a little bit. But Paul says, if you've paid attention to what I've taught you, if you've listened to what I've revealed, if you will go back and read what we've said, you can know everything that I know about the mystery of Christ. By referring to this, by going back to and considering the things that I have written, I wrote before in brief, the revelation that I gave to you when you heard those things from me who is a messenger of Christ, if you'll do this, if you'll read it, you can understand my insight, my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. What Paul tells the Ephesian brethren there is if you'll put forth the effort, you can know what the will of God is. If you're willing to go back and read, you can understand. There's so many people in the world today that have this idea that just reading the Scripture is not going to help them understand. They've got to have somebody to teach them about all of it. They've got to turn to some learned person. And I'm well aware that when Philip came up to the Ethiopian eunuch and he was reading there from the book of Isaiah, he said, "Understand what you read." And the eunuch said, "How can I except some man should guide me?" But stop and think about where he was reading. The book of Isaiah might need a little bit of help or instruction to be understood. But much of what we have contained in the pages of Scripture today is not hard to understand. It's written in such a manner that a child can understand if they can comprehend from reading. And we need to learn to be able to emphasize this to people and to show them that they can understand the Word of God. So many people in the world today think, well, we all understand it differently. Well, if it can be understood at all, it will be understood the same. It can be understood. And this passage, or Arthur, takes us in his route to 2 Timothy chapter 3, another passage familiar to most all of us, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13 through 17. And I don't know, maybe if you're doing this, you might start at verse 14, but verse 13 kind of sets the mood for what Paul's going to be talking about afterwards. But evil men and imposters will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. You, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you've learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. And here's another one of those passages that tells us we can understand the Word of God. Paul said Timothy knew it. Paul said Timothy had absorbed it since his youth in such a manner that he was able to take those things that he had learned all those years, and it made him wise unto salvation. The Word of God is sufficient to teach us the things we need to know in order to be cleansed of our sins and to be right in the sight of God. This is an example of one who has come to that understanding. How? Through reading and studying the Scriptures. Not through some special inspiration. There's nothing mentioned here about an inspiration we talked about when we were studying in the book of 1 Timothy just a few weeks ago. We have no special record that gives us any specific inclination that the apostle or that anyone had caused Timothy to have the spiritual gift of inspiration. It's possible. Could have, but we don't have any specific instance made mention of where we can say for certain that that's the case. So it's quite possible that Timothy's knowledge came simply from what he had heard and studied from the time he was young and his continued reading and studying and applying the teachings he had heard from the Apostle Paul and various others as he went about doing his work as a preacher and as an evangelist of the Lord's Word. He had been able to thoroughly furnish himself through the Scriptures to be able to understand the Word of God. The Word of God can be understood. If it could not, Timothy would not be able to understand those things. The next passage that our pathway takes us is to 2 Timothy chapter 4, just in my Bible, just a few verses down on the same page. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, Paul gives an explanation as to why there are so many that don't understand the Word of God or have difficulty with the Word of God or don't want to read and know the will of God. He says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires and will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myths." Take note of what Paul tells Timothy here. These people could not understand the will of God, not because it was hard to understand. Not because it took some kind of degree in English or Greek or whatever to be able to determine what the Word of God was, but simply because they didn't agree with what it said. The parts that they did read, they didn't like. They wanted to hear something that made them happy. And as such, they turned themselves away from the truth and gave themselves wholly over to fables. And my thought every time I read this passage is, does that remind me of anybody that I've heard of today? Well, yes. Our society is full of those who have decided that religion is all about satisfying their desires. if there ever was a time that we can easily determine matches what the Apostle Paul talks about here in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3 and 4, now is one of those times. I'm not saying it's the only time. I'm not saying it's the specific time that Paul is talking about. But the attitude of most of the religious people in the world today fits what Paul says here almost exactly. They're not interested in the truth. The reason they can't understand the Bible is because they don't look to the Bible. They look for someone that will tell them what they want to hear. They follow after fables, untruths, false doctrine. They turn their ears away from the truth, turn aside to myths and fables. The next place that our route takes us is in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 11 and 12, and it expands on this idea. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 11 and 12, Paul tells the Thessalonian brethren, "For this reason, God will send upon them a deluding influence so that they will believe what is false, in order that they all may be judged who did not believe the truth but took pleasure in wickedness." Once again, this is a passage where you might want to include a few other verses depending on who you're talking to or what kind of particular study you're going through, because the verses just before that talk about what this reason is that he makes reference to there in the first part of verse 11. The latter part of verse 10, because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. You read the context there, and some of the things that are talked about there are very similar to what Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4. They weren't hearing what they wanted, so they turned away. And because they turned away, God allowed them to be misled. He allowed them to turn away from Him. He doesn't force us to read and understand His will. It's up to each and every one of us to make the decision that that is what we want to do. Our path next takes us into 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 16. Here the Apostle Peter talks a little bit about some of those things that are hard to understand. In fact, I want to begin in verse 14. "Therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found in Him in peace, spotless and blameless, in regard to the patience of our Lord and salvation. Just as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given him, wrote to you, as also in all his letters, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which the untaught and unstable distort, as they do also the rest of the Scriptures to their own destruction." Now, the context of what Peter is talking about here, the new heaven and the new earth, he makes reference that the Apostle Paul talks about these things as well. But he also mentions there that some of the things that Paul has written are a little difficult to understand. But he doesn't say they cannot be understood. He said they're hard to understand. And then he says the big problem with this is not that they're hard to understand, but that the untaught and unstable take those things and distort them. It's been a couple of weeks now. I think I may have mentioned this once before, but I heard record that there was some group that said the world was going to end. I think it was on the 29th of July. Poles were going to flip their magnets, and we were going to have earthquakes and all kinds of destruction, and the world was going to come to end on that day. And they based it on Bible passages. They turned back to Old Testament prophecy and New Testament writings and all sorts of things to come up with this idea. And what they've done is simply what Peter talks about right here. They were untaught and unstable. They weren't versed in the Scriptures. They were versed in myths and fables. They weren't rooted and grounded in the basics and the principles of the Word of God. And therefore, they took those things that were written and distorted them, misrepresented, and it leads to their own destruction. They rest with the Scriptures. Certainly, these that make such end-of-the-world predictions are not the only ones that do these things. But they're the ones that stand out and the ones we see as an example of those who are, maybe we should say, an extreme example of such situations. But there are much less extreme examples as well. Maybe not rest to scare people about the end of the world, but rest them to turn them to their own purposes and their own reasons. How many times have we heard the passage, all things work together for good for them that love the Lord, as a reference in the Scripture that teaches us that we're going to get rich, or that everything's going to be hunky-dory for us all of our life? Or how many times have we heard the quotation from the book of Jeremiah, I believe it's Jeremiah, that talks about how God has a plan for you, taking completely out of the context in which Jeremiah is using it to try to impress upon people that no matter what's happening, understand God's got a special plan in place just for you. And it's written down on a wall somewhere. He's checking off each event as it takes place. Oh, they don't go to that extreme, but really that's the point they're trying to get across. And that this terrible event that you've just had to deal with, well, it's a part of God's plan for you. He had this set for you to have to deal with since the beginning of time. And because He had you deal with this, somewhere down the line, there's going to be some great things going to happen. I'm confident each of us have heard someone misapply those verses in a manner such as that. Maybe not as extravagant as I gave you an example, but trying to show us. And what they've done is they've taken the Word of God and wrested it away. If you'll take and read in the context of that, you'll find that what's being talked about by that prophet leads to giving confidence to the Israelites and to those from Judah that God was going to take care of them and bring them back. Because it was through them that salvation was going to come to all mankind. It had reference to His plan with Christ. Not reference to the plan by which I'm going to get rich over the rest of my life. Or by which I'm going to see all my enemies defeated. To the plan of Christ. They've taken and rested to their own purposes. This is why people don't understand the will of the Lord. This is why people can read the Bible and not know what it says. Because they're trying to apply it to those things that would fit their plan rather than consider exactly what it is that God has in mind with those teachings. The next passage that we go to in this particular route is in John chapter 7 and verse 17. John chapter 7 and verse 17. And there we read, if anyone is willing to do His will, he will know the teaching, whether it is of God or whether I speak from myself. Think about that for a minute. Maybe here's a point where we can stop if we're talking to somebody and studying with somebody and emphasize this point. If one wants to know, he can know. This takes us back to some of the things we talked about in our Bible class this past Wednesday about the parables of Jesus and how He spoke in parables so that those who wanted to know could know. But those that had no desire to know, or those that just wanted to rest His Word to their own uses, would not understand. And in fact, our route takes us to Luke chapter 8 and verse 15. Luke chapter 8 and verse 15, which is actually a part of the recording of the parable of the sower. More particularly, maybe the explanation of the parable of the sower. In fact, Luke chapter 8 might ring a bell in your ear because that's kind of where we've been off and on for the last few Wednesday night services. But verse 15 of Luke chapter 8, but the seed and the good soil, those who are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart and hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance. The illustration given here is such that it tells us that if a person wants to know, if a person has opened their heart to the Lord with a willingness to understand, they can know. Just like the Apostle Paul told the Ephesian brethren that if you will consider I'm the messenger from God, sent by Christ to teach you, then you can take the things I've taught you and know everything that's been revealed to me. If we want to know, we can know. The next passage that we go to is in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 12 through 16. Here the Apostle Paul says, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given us by God, which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually appraised. But he who is spiritual appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he will instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." Here Paul, he affirms that they received the wisdom of God. They received it in maybe a hidden form, depending on which particular version you read from. It was given to them so that they might know what God's plan was, and so they might reveal it to those of the world. The Word of God can be understood. But he continues in this passage to remind us again that the problem is not the Word, it's the person that's reading the Word. It's the person receiving the Word. The man who is focused on natural or worldly things is not going to understand the Word of God because he's looking at it from the wrong standpoint. He's looking at it with the wrong kind of glasses, so to speak. In order for us to understand the Word of God and His will in regards to us, we've got to look at it with a spiritual mind. We have the mind of Christ, Paul tells us. We've got to look at it as a spiritual revelation rather than a physical statement. Because the natural man, when we look at it with natural, worldly thoughts, we're going to miss the point. The Word of God is not about getting rich here or having an easy life here. The Word of God is about living our life here so that we can be in heaven when this life is over. We talk about that natural man, and you might want to write reference in your Bible or something here to key you back to a couple of passages in the book of Romans. Romans chapter 8 and verse 7, actually verse 6 through 8, puts across the idea that the natural man is a person that does not do the will of God. He's not even attuned to that sort of a thing. And then also in Romans chapter 1, verse 22 through about verse 27, talks about how the natural man is skeptical and focused on natural and worldly things and focused upon fulfilling the desires of the flesh and making himself happy or herself happy. It certainly talks about the kind of mind that one turns over to when they begin to go down that path. If a person is thinking about fulfilling fleshly desires, he may have a hard time understanding the Word of God. Because it's not about fleshly desires. It's about spiritual things. So the mind needs to be a mind that is open and willing and prepared and ready in order for it to understand the will of the Lord. That's why the scribes and Pharisees couldn't understand what Jesus was teaching. Yet, the fishermen and the farmers that followed him all through the regions around about the Sea of Galilee could understand. Some of them understood so well that at one point they decided they really weren't really ready to devote themselves this much, and they laughed because it was a hard saying. They weren't willing to put forth the effort. From here, our path takes us to a passage in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 and 13, certainly a passage that is familiar to each one of us. The Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. There is no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. The Hebrew writer tells us that the Word of God is living and active. How can it be active in our life if we can't understand it? How can we use it to look down into ourselves and determine what kind of person we really are if we can't understand what it says? And the last place that this path takes us is to a passage that talks about this just as well, in James chapter 1, verse 21 through 25. James chapter 1, verse 21 through 25. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your soul. But prove yourselves doers of the word, and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. Now look at what James tells us. If we want to receive and understand the Word, we've got to put aside all of the worldly things that we've been focused on. And then we need to take that Word, and we need to study it, and we need to put it into application in our lives. If one wants to understand the Word of God, not only do they read it, but they read it with an open and honest mind that is truly seeking to know what it has to say, with an understanding that it is pointing us to heaven, not to earthly treasures, and then put it to work in their lives. One of the reasons so many Christians are still lacking in their understanding of the Word of God is they've not yet put the Word to action in their life. Truly, to fully understand something, we have to spend time in it. We have to approach it with the right mind. And then we have to take that and make it a part of ourselves, if we want to glean from the Word of God that which it has for us. Maybe this lesson has just been a reminder to you of the things that you already knew, probably, most of us. But maybe it'll give you some ammunition to help talk to somebody that sometime or another, when you mention the Bible, they say, "Oh, I can't understand that." Maybe it'll help you start somewhere and show them that the Bible can be understood. And who knows what that might lead to. Might lead to the saving of someone's soul. Certainly will lead to your own further understanding and growth in serving the Lord. Hope the lesson has been profitable. I'll try to keep it from being almost a year before we go back and look at another one of these, because the next one talks about the need for baptism, and it's something that we need to understand. We need to know how to talk to people regarding those things. And so we'll do this again sometime, so that we can have this ammunition. Once again, if you're interested in these things, you want to get them, and you don't want to wait for me to go through them over the next 10 or 15 years, I've got access to the material, can get it to you, or you can have it yourself. But we're still going to go through some of these, because there's lessons for us as well. And I hope the lesson has been beneficial to you this evening. But we also recognize that there may be something in your life that causes you to have a need for the prayer of your brethren. Maybe you've come to an understanding that the only way you're going to get through some particular trouble or problem that you're dealing with is to have the prayers of the brethren. Let the brethren help you with it. Maybe you've engaged yourself in some sinful activity, or you've left off some things that you need to do. And you realize, the only way I'm ever going to get past this is to make myself accountable. We're here for that purpose. The reason we offer this invitation song is so that if there are any in our audience who need to take corrective steps or need the prayers of the congregation, here's a convenient an easy opportunity for you to do that. Don't wait for this time if you do have a problem, but if you do have a problem at this time, come and let your desire be known, Lord. We stand and sing.